Boo.
Was that the whole review?
That was the whole review. Podcast. I am Keaton DeRocher, baseball editor at Sports the Website, and with me is Mike Lavery, managing editor at Sports the Website. We are both from the brandy new, as mentioned before, sportsthewebsite.com. You can find me on Twitter at The Spoken Keats, and Mike can be found on Twitter at Pass the Mike. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing good, getting my other podcast going, and I'm also excited to watch the Celtics and the Sixers tonight.
Yeah. I'm excited about that one, too. I think we are actually starting to record this right as the game is tipping.
Yeah, I got to record it, so after the game I can shoot through all the commercials. I do it smart.
That is definitely a smart way to do it. You can reach out to this podcast on Twitter, at SeemsToMePod, and at SportsTheTweets for everything Sports the Website related. On this episode, as usual, we'll be going over our predictions, our observations, things we're looking forward to, and then we have some other random topics and things to get to. So, first, let's go over our bold predictions from last week and make some new ones for the week to come. My first bold prediction from last week, which I initially thought was immediately after I made it, was a terrible one and was way too high, actually was really close. So my first bold prediction was I predicted there was going to be 5 ejections between recordings, and it was so close, we got to 4. We had Clint Hurdle get tossed, Josh Bard, the Yankees bench coach, Kurt Young, the Giants pitching coach, and John Gibbons just got tossed yesterday, I think. So unless there's been one from the early games today, we got just one shy of that prediction coming true. So I was actually shocked it even got that close.
Did you get a chance to watch video of any of them?
I did not, no.
I was going to ask if any of them were exciting or anything like that, if they at least got their money's worth.
No, but I did actually find during my research of checking to see if there were, or how many ejections there were, that there is a actual umpire fantasy league that actually keeps track of ejections.
But what else did you get points for? Is it just ejections?
I actually didn't dig into it that much. I just used their tracking to figure out how many ejections there had been. But it's definitely something I want to go back and double check because that sounds fun.
In football, our favorite fantasy league with our group of friends is actually, it started as a punter and kicker fantasy league. And then it became just a defensive, we set a defensive roster and then punter and kickers get extra points and stuff like that. But there's definitely some like interesting fantasy leagues. In fact, we should look into doing a umpire one, or at least a fantasy draft of some sort.
Yeah, I would actually like you and I doing like a podcast umpire fantasy league and just kind of rolling through that throughout the season. Maybe we should do the draft of it like on the next one.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty excited to find that, and I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So what was one of your bold predictions from last week?
I only had one prediction last week, and it was that Ozzie Albies and Yoan Moncada would hit more home runs than the Yankees infield. Albies had 4, and Moncada had 2, so they had 6 total. 4, if you didn't count the 2 they hit on the day we recorded. One was before our podcast, one was after our podcast, so anywhere between 4 and 6. And then the Yankees only had 3. They had 2 by Didi, and then 1 by Austin before his suspension. So I nailed that one. Albies is on a tear. We talked about it last week, how he kind of had the Lindor projection where he wasn't a huge power guy in the minors, and then it has been in the majors he's been killing it and he's been keeping it up. Moncada, he's had a more rounded year, but they've both been very hot lately.
Yeah, they've been incredible. The young core that the Braves have put together is pretty darn exciting, and it seems like eventually at some point the White Sox is going to catch up too, just because they still have a bunch of guys in the minors with Kopech and Eloy and Robert, so it seems like they are going to quickly catch up.
For this year, who do you think will have a better season between Albies and Acuna?
Oh, man. Coming into the year, I would have thought the easy choice would have been Acuna, but with the hot start that Albies has had and the power that he's shown, that's actually a much more difficult question than it should be.
Yeah, my brain wants to say Acuna. My heart wants to say Albies, so I'm torn.
Yeah, same thing.
What about between Albies and Moncada?
I feel like that one's the same way, too. I mean, we had them really ranked really close on our rankings, and basically the difference was Moncada was going to produce more
I mean, that will do it.
Albies wasn't going to have the power, to everyone's surprise. There it is. So mm-hmm. I think Albies probably will have the better year over Moncada, which is kind of crazy.
I know. How exciting it must be to be a Braves fan.
Yeah.
This week, Mike Soroka came up, who's also only 20, and he pitched six, I think, shutout innings. He might have given up one run, I forget now. But he pitched a quality start at the age of 20. So things are starting to look good for the Braves, and maybe someday soon they'll have Jose Bautista up. Actually, they said they're planning on bringing him up and putting him to good use and getting production out of him. So that will be an interesting twist to the young team, but I think in general it's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So what else did you have for predictions last week?
Yeah, my other prediction was that we were going to have a cycle, caught off the heels of immediately predicting the first no-hitter of the season. I thought I'd piggyback off that and go with trying to predict the first cycle, which was unsuccessful. However, I went and looked up just the cycles of the major leagues because we had the last we could remember. The most recent one I could remember was Freddie Freeman, and the most recent one you could remember was Brock Holt. And I thought it was interesting that so since Freddie Freeman's cycle in 2016, there has been 9. And since Brock Holt's in 2015, there have been 13. So
that's
there has
crazy.
Been so many more cycles that we forgot about.
Did you look at all the names?
Yeah.
Who is the most unlikely one, do you think? Besides Brock Holt, probably.
Rajah Davis.
Oh, yeah.
The other ones are actually pretty maybe John Jaso. I don't know if we really think of a...
I could never see him getting a triple.
The catcher legging out a triple is not something you typically expect. But, I mean, the other ones are pretty predictable. You have Will Myers, Trey Turner, Carlos Gomez twice, Nolan Arenado, Cody Bellinger, Evan Longoria, Jose Abreu. Those are all guys that you could easily see it happening with.
In his career, John Jaso has 12 triples in 9 seasons. So he has one a year, 1.5 years. So that's better than I expected.
They put that one to good use.
Well, in 2016, he had 3.
Wow.
It's kind of in spurts. Yeah. It's like 3-1-2-0-3-0-3-0. So some years he's feeling it and some years he's not.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising.
16 stolen bases. Man, he's a speedster, and I never knew it.
Yeah, that is pretty surprising.
I didn't have any other predictions. So did you have any more for last week?
No, those are the only two that I had. So why don't you go ahead with your prediction for the coming week?
Mine is something that I want to bring up later in the podcast anyways, but I think that Jose Peraza will have more stolen bases than Billy Hamilton. Even though Peraza only has 1 this year, he's batting 3rd in the order, so they're kind of not giving him the sign as much while he's in front of Votto. But it's somewhat my belief in Peraza and somewhat my total disbelief of Billy Hamilton and his ability to get on base. I don't know, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, he's struggling mightily right now, and he's also being platooned in the outfield. So, I mean, if he has a day off every 3 days, plus he just can't get on base right now, the opportunities for Billy Hamilton are just not going to be there.
What do you think having him on the team right now is doing for the Reds? Why wouldn't they try to shop him? He could be a great fourth outfielder for a very good team that needs someone that can fill in and then also pinch run some games. I don't understand why they're holding on to him.
I mean, who the hell knows with the Reds? I mean, why did they fire their manager 8 games into the season?
Do you think fans like him? Fans of the Reds?
Yes.
Because he's so fast, even though he doesn't get on base?
He's one of those, like, fun, he's on your team guys, but completely worthless.
Like John Jaso.
Yeah.
What are some of your predictions?
My predictions are, I'm back on the horse with the bullpen cart.
How's their schedule looking?
Well, that's the reason why. So I had to take last week off because they didn't have a home stand. Now Arizona's back at home. So it's back on my prediction list. So I'm going to keep it on there every freaking week until someone rides the goddamn bullpen cart.
By next week, I want you to also do some research and find out who the driver of the bullpen cart is, because we should try to have him on a podcast.
Yes, I'm 100% on that. That's going to happen.
If you can figure out who it is, I'll try to contact him. We'll make that deal.
All right, fair. And then my other one is another fun one. I think that the Freeze down in Atlanta is going to lose one of his races.
Who would win in a race, you think, the Freeze or Billy Hamilton?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I mean, it's kind of not fair because the Freeze gets on the field, so it's tough to really compare them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he does only get on the field for about 12 seconds, but that is more than Billy Hamilton is seeing. So.
But yeah, I like those predictions. I really hope Sun rides the bullpen cart. And if the, we should also try to get advertising on it, like a bumper sticker or something. We have a lot of bullpen cart things to work on.
Yeah, we need to start a hashtag movement. We get some momentum
that's a good
on
idea.
This thing. I can't be the only one that's frustrated with this. There's got to be other people out there.
Yeah, if you guys have anything to say about the bullpen cart, please tweet at us and email us, because we will love to read your tweets on a podcast about what you have to say about the bullpen cart.
Hashtag ride the bull pen cart.
I was going to say, you should make sure these aren't actual hashtags.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll keep working on that. All right, so what's one of your observations from the week?
One thing I want to talk about is two of the premier pitchers of this year, Garrett Cole and Patrick Corbin. I assume I pronounced those names correctly.
You're 2 for 2 so far.
What I want to talk about is their pitch selection this year, good and bad. With Corbin, this could be part of my fantasy minute, I guess. Sell Patrick Corbin, in my belief. He's having a great year, and I think as long as he's healthy, he can keep it up. But, for instance, in March, he threw 49% slider rate. That's just like asking to have Dr. James Andrew on call, ready to come and give him Tommy John. He went down to 37% this month, but that's still a lot of sliders that he's throwing, and he's relying on it a lot. This last month, his sinker has gone up, but I would say far, far away from Patrick Corbin, and he's probably worth a lot right now, so if you can't sell him, I would sell him. And same with the Diamondbacks. I mean, they're competing right now, so obviously they're going to keep him. But if they ever drop out of it, I would consider trading him, because I think he's a free agent after this year. Do you have any thoughts on Patrick Corbin before I hop over to Garrett Cole?
Yeah, so I actually...
I mean, I know you love him.
Yeah, I had the exact opposite reaction to that on the good old Dynasty Guru podcast. The changes that he's made in the way he's attacking hitters, I think, is very sustainable. And his approach, basically, he learned a whole new pitch. He learned, added a curveball to his arsenal, and is throwing his fastball less. So he's keeping guys much more off balance and just completely altered his approach to attacking batters at the plate. So he's having a great year. And basically the reason for it is he's not throwing his fastball as much, and he learned another pitch. So he's vastly altered his pitch mix, and it's very sustainable.
Don't get me wrong. I love what he's doing, and I do think it's sustainable if he stays healthy. It's just someone that throws that amount of sliders. It scares the hell out of me. I obviously never want to see someone get injured. I want to see people have great performances, but it's more the injury risk. Like, while he's healthy and you have him on your team, I think he's going to keep it up. It just scares me when I see something like that.
It's 1% more than he threw his slider all of last year.
That's 1% more risk of throwing out your elbow.
His fastball, though, so he threw his fastball 30.2% of the time. And this year it's down to 16.8. So he basically cut his fastball usage in half.
Yeah. Well, Garrett Cole's pitch selection. I've always had an adage in baseball that a sinker baller as an ace cannot win a World Series. And he has thrown anywhere from highest season was over 20% sinkers, and the lowest season was basically 11% sinkers. This year he's basically dropped it down to 4%. He doesn't throw the sinker anymore. The way that batters are now swinging the plane, they get under sinkers more. So somebody sat down with him and told him stop pitching many sinkers. And his fastball has gone up. And his slider's gone up, his curveball's gone up, everything's gone up, but mostly his fastball. And it's just something where, the Pirates get a good reputation of having a great pitching coach who can take people back and rehab their careers. But he didn't develop Cole the way he could have. Cole, he was the number one overall pick. He was always expected to be the best pitcher in baseball. And I think if he keeps up what he's doing, he's going to be the best pitcher in baseball. Just, keep the ball in the park, stop throwing sinkers. And I think what Garrett Cole is doing is for real.
Yeah.
The end.
Maybe a sinker baller pitcher can't win you a World Series, but they can clinch the DS, ALCS, and World Series for you. Shouts to 2004 Derek Lowe.
Well, he wasn't the ace, though. That's the thing. They had Pedro, they had Schilling. And the thing that really made me believe this was when the Yankees were a powerhouse but had Chin-Ming Wong as their ace, who just threw ground balls. I don't know. I'm sure it's possible. It's like having a score first point guard. I never believed in that until Steph Curry came along. So there's people that will change my mind that are the exceptions. But a general rule in my mind is that you're not going to win a World Series with an ace of a sinker baller, even though I do love Derek Lowe.
Do you believe that a single baller can win the Cy Young?
Yeah. Because it's yes, I do. I mean, obviously the strikeout numbers going to be down, but it kind of depends on their infield if they can win a Cy Young. But, I mean, if they're the best pitcher, they're the best pitcher. I just, in big games, you just want guys to sit guys down when it matters, you know, get some Ks.
That was a shouts to 2016 Rick Porcello.
Yeah, well, I didn't love Porcello. I mean, I've never loved Porcello, especially his contract, but he pitched good that year. He's pitching good this year.
He's pitching very good this year.
It's like, when he's won the Cy Young, it's like people rely too heavily on wins. When, as a culture, we've kind of moved away from valuing the win stat for a pitcher, but the baseball writers are still behind in the times, I feel.
Yeah, sidebar on that, I don't think he should have won the Cy Young in 2016. I'm still in the Verlander camp on that year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty shocked that he ended up winning that. But anyway, moving on. So, weekly observation for me. So, I have a couple good ones, I think. So, my first one is that Trevor Bauer has his panties in a bunch about one of the pitchers that you mentioned there. He's all upset that the Houston Astros pitching staff has increased their spin rate. So, I don't know if you got a chance to see this, but he went on like a whole Twitter thing about it.
No.
I'll give you some of the highlights of it. So, there was a rando guy on Twitter that tweeted the Driveline Baseball, the training facility where Bauer works out, and just posed the question, are the Astros doctoring baseballs or throwing spitballs? Look at the spin rates of Verlander, Cole, and Morton. Increased dramatically pitching in Astros uniform. They are probably using a substance like chewing gum, like Morton did last postseason. And Bauer responded with about 40 thinking guy emojis. And then, if only there were just a really quick way to increase spin rate, like what if you could trade for a player knowing that you could bump his spin rate a couple hundred RPM overnight? Imagine the steals you could get on the trade market if only that existed. And then Lance McCullers replied to just take a seat. AJ Hinch, their manager, was asked about it on his weekly radio show, or on MLB Network radio show, on an appearance that he was making, and he didn't really get what the point of the being called out was, but pointed out that they've made mechanical adjustments to their pitchers' motions and mechanics tweaks of the nature that have increased, that all three of the pitchers took to in spring training, that have helped them perform, which is a pretty reasonable response. So that probably should have been the end of it. But another person, actual like head of Driveline Baseball, responded, chewing gum? Question mark. I actually didn't know that Morton was apparently using chewing gum. That seems like it'd be pretty hard to hide. But he says that so spitballs would reduce spin rate, theoretically. But he did say it was a weird coincidence. And mechanics, I mean, if you change your mechanics, the way you're gripping the ball, all that, that would change spin rate. So, I mean, if you're gripping it tighter, gripping it in a different way on the seams, all that are relatively easy ways to adjust spin rate on how you're throwing a ball. So it's not something that is kind of out of the ordinary. We've seen guys' spin rate change. So another guy responded, another rando, basically the same response as a Driveline Baseball guy, and Trevor Bauer started spewing his science that's actually not true. And then Alex Bregman really responded with the kicker that told Trevor to relax. Those World Series baseballs spin a little differently.
It's a great troll.
Which you think would have been the end of it until Trevor Bauer's start Tuesday night, where it seemed like he was doing a little bit of probably doctoring the baseball. He was seen kind of doing a little bit of rubbing on his hands in the first inning. Looked like he was trying to get a little bit of something on his fingers when he was gripping the ball. And lo and behold, after analyzing the spin rates, which our good friend at the Dynasty Guru, Jim Melcher, did, his RPMs on his fastball in the first inning were actually 300 RPM higher than the rest of the game. So it seems as if Trevor Bauer was performing a little experiment on the mound on how he can increase his RPMs and spin rates mid-game.
So I have multiple things to say about this. First of all, some pitching coaches teach different things, obviously. But like we're talking about the Pirates, they all teach certain pitches. I think they teach a lot of pitchers that have problems. They teach them, you know, a better sinker. Some pitcher coaches like Joe Kerrigan, he would always teach pitchers the best way to pitch out of a slide step, for instance. So it's very possible that the Astros pitching coach has something that he has great knowledge of that improves spin rate when they bring on a player who they see has the potential. They can see in the motion, they can see stuff that they can tweak to improve these player spin rates. But let's talk about Trevor Bauer for a moment.
So real quick on that, oh, yeah. Colin McHugh's response was along that same line. It was, if only there was this thing where people who had been around baseball a long time could teach the people who hadn't been around as long, mm-hmm. imagine the possibility for improvement year over year. We could call it coaching.
Yeah, and we've seen people go to Houston that have been not great prospects or not. Like even Colin McHugh, he was average, and the more time he spent in Houston, the better he's got just by being around that coaching. I think he's a perfect example to show what Houston does for these pitchers. Charlie Morton was the same way. But Trevor Bauer, last year or 2 years ago, he missed a playoff game because he sliced his hand on a drone.
Yep.
And he was like obsessed with drones, and he said ever since he saw Star Wars as a kid, he just had to take drones apart, build drones, put them together, and he was trying to fix the motor in his drone like the day before his start, and the motor sliced his finger and he couldn't pitch. That alone takes away so much credibility to anything he has to say about pitching in my eyes, even though it has very little to do with pitching, but I don't know, it just seems like the nerdiest way to miss an athletic event would be by trying to build a drone because you saw it was episode one. Also, he was so obsessed with episode one of Star Wars that he had this drone fetish.
That's the worst one.
Yeah, that alone, I can't even.
Man, we could go on about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he literally travels with that drone.
Why?
At least one drone on every single one, and he takes aerial views of the ballpark from behind home plate and tweets them out when they're on road trips.
Know who he should get a job with? Bill Belichick. Then he can fly over teams and spy on them. But like, there's aerial views of every ballpark ever. They don't need the Trevor Bauer cam.
The bigger kicker for just disqualifying him on thoughts on spin rate and whatnot is that he's a climate change denier.
Is he really?
So, yeah. So, I mean, if that's his basis for science and fact, whatever he has to say about spin rates and increasing spin rates and whatever data he has and that all that junk, I'm just immediately tossing out the window.
Yeah, he probably can't throw a good spin rate because he probably also believes the earth is flat, so we're losing the rotational pull of the ball, so it's probably hurting his chances as well.
I feel like that has to go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't not be a climate change denier and also think the world is round.
And I remember when they were interviewing about the drone thing, he was so surly with all the press, too. When they're asking legitimate questions about why you're missing a playoff start, like, I couldn't imagine he has that many playoff starts in his career. And he missed one for the stupid reason, and he couldn't even, like, be a man about it. He was just surly and a jerk with everybody.
Didn't he bring the drone?
Yeah. Oh, to the press conference? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the drone was at the press conference.
I wouldn't be surprised. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
All right. So, my observation, this next one is really quick because there's not a lot to say about it, but the Red Sox had a catcher's block. Have you ever seen a catcher's block before in your life?
No, I don't think I have.
So what it is he picked up the ball. I think it was Christian Vasquez. He picked up the ball with his mask, But it wasn't even like no one was sealing the base. There was no need to make a quick move, but he blocked the ball. It went between his legs, and he was kind of on one knee and on one foot, so he was kind of had like the five hole open. And with one hand, he had the glove, obviously. The other hand, he takes the mask off and scoops up the ball to himself with the catcher's mask. And it was a catcher's block. And I've never seen it, never heard of it. He knew the rule after the game. He said he knew about it. It's just, why would you even pick up the ball with the mask when picking up with the hand is so much easier? He had to take the mask off his face, scoop up the ball, when he could just reach down and pick up the ball. It makes no sense to me. Did you see the video?
No, but so does that mean, like, if you're in the field, you can't catch a pop-up with your hat?
You know, I don't know. I always thought you could, and I'm surprised this mask thing is a penalty, but it's also a rule that I feel like you'd be so stupid to do it anyways, you should be penalized. Because picking up with the mask does nothing. He can't whip the ball from the mask to someone trying to run to the bag. I don't know.
Right.
But I don't know about that. I'll have to look it up to see if catching a ball with the hat is illegal. Because we'd always try to do that in, like, slow pitch softball games or, like, intramurals and stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, that just makes me think, like, you're not allowed to touch the ball with, like, other pieces of equipment. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just throwing things at a wall, see if it
instincts. So, yeah. What else? What do you got?
So, I got Pablo Sandoval's perfect inning. And I'm wondering, should he try and reverse Rick Ankiel himself and try and become a washed-up hitter that becomes an outstanding closer?
He's hitting 250 with a 318 OBP, and he has one home run in 44 at-bats. So better than he did with the Red Sox, but still not good. I don't know if his glove is... I know in Boston it was awful. I don't know if his glove is anything anymore.
Is he playing third?
It looks like this year he played first base for a game. He played third base for 7 games, DH, and pitcher.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, he has 4 errors this year. All of them at third.
So 4 errors in 8 games?
Yeah. So so they're not getting any use out of him. So did you watch the inning?
I saw the highlights.
How did his pitches look?
Good enough for a perfect inning.
Well, was it perfect inning against, do you know if it was like 7, 8, 9, one of them being the pitcher?
I don't know where it was in the order. I'm in National League too, so I mean, I wouldn't have known. But I mean, he didn't get any strikeouts. There were 3 groundouts.
So he must have not fielded
it seems
any
like
of them.
It was luck.
Yeah. So I Googled the best pitching performances by positional players, and an article came up for 2017, and they had the 10 best, and none of them were a perfect inning. So he already pitched better than any positional player last year. So I think they should keep doing it.
Yeah, there you go. He found his calling.
Yeah, it's worst case scenario, he's going to suck pitching, but he's already sucking in the field and sucking batting. So if you're going to be paying him, actually, he's probably a minimum, right? Because Boston's paying most of it, and then he was released or something, DFA'd.
Yeah, I would think it's got to be major league minimum.
We saw that. Who was the catcher for the Braves that tried to Christian Betancourt?
What?
He was a catcher, and he tried to become a pitcher, Christian Betancourt.
Did it work?
No. I mean, he's not... I don't think he's in the majors at all anymore. It did not work. He was supposed to be a great defensive catcher, but he could not hit for shit. And I guess he
sounds like most catchers.
Yeah, he had a gun. Like, he could throw heat, but I think that's all he could do is throw fastballs. So he didn't last either. There are no Otani.
Well, yeah.
And the last piece that I want to talk about, we talked about actually, I think it was our very first episode about Ichiro and opening day. He had, or I don't know if it was opening day, opening week.
Robbed a homer,
yeah.
Yeah.
And sort of announced his retirement. It wasn't 100% he's retired. They said, you know, he's moving to the front office for the rest of the season. But I think this is probably the last we'll see of him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to play in Japan after the season. What do you think about Ichiro's farewell?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that it happened this abruptly. And there wasn't... I mean, he deserves more than just a, hey, effective immediately, he's going to be in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that even in a front office role, teams still recognize his accomplishments as Seattle travels around. Because if I feel like if they're, you know, in this seems weird to say this, but this day and age of retirement tours, if there was anybody that deserved one, it's Ichiro.
So I pulled up an article right here, and he says he's not playing for the duration of 2018, but next spring he plans to be in uniform for the Mariners, hoping to make the club.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But
Team Ichiro.
At a certain point, you have to go out in dignity. Like, you never want to be Michael Jordan for the Wizards. You know, if Michael Jordan for the Wizards was a salvageable basketball player, but compared to what he was for his career, people that were of a younger age, that's all they saw of him, and can't believe that it's the same Michael Jordan. Like, people now that are probably 16, they haven't seen anything great from Ichiro, so what they see is just this washed up guy trying to keep it going. It's sad, and I want better for him.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've only seen Jordan as a Wizard, but they did go to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. He was salvageable, but he wasn't Michael Jordan. He was Chicago White Sox Michael Jordan, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's go on to some happy news. What are some favorite moments you had from this week?
So my favorite moment was Orbit the Astro trolling the Yankees in a very fun fashion. So he played Judge and was basically laying down some verdicts on...
This is like on the Jumbotron, or...?
It was pregame, on the field.
Okay.
And he had an assistant who was basically had these giant cue cards, and he had the defendant and what the charge was, and he had these giant signs that he was holding up for guilty and not guilty. So Brett Gardner was found not guilty of always being happy, and I thought that was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Didi Gregorius was found guilty of having gorgeous eyelashes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at Didi right now. He kind of does. Did you ever watch Lost?
No.
Oh. There was this actor on the show who always looked like he was wearing eyeliner, and he was interviewed if they did that for makeup purposes. He's like, no, that's just how my eyelashes look. And Didi has those same eyelashes, so I agree that he is guilty.
Yeah, he's pretty spot on a couple of these. And
yeah.
Then this is the one that I think I disagree with. Giancarlo Stanton was found not guilty of being ridiculously handsome. I think he is pretty ridiculously handsome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me see here. I want to segue to something about would you rather. Who would you rather watch for the rest of their career? Giancarlo Stanton or Giancarlo Esposito? Do you know who he is? He had an appearance this week on a TV show that we both love. He was one of my top TV characters of all time, Gus Fring on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that
but
was it.
He was on Westworld this week, and one of the Westworld podcasts I listened to, they said the only spoiler they are not allowed to give away was that he was cast this season. They released all the other names of everybody, but for some reason they didn't release him. And he's not that big of a star that, like, that's a weird thing. But if you could only watch Stanton for the rest of his career or Esposito for the rest of their career, who would you choose?
See, that, yeah, that's super tough.
You're basically, now you're either blocking out Yankee games or blocking out Westworld.
Well, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen episode 2, so you just mute like the next 30 seconds, you've seen this episode, right?
Yeah, but before, no matter what you're going to say, which I'm sure I know what it is, he's a robot, so he can just come back. No? You don't think that they can have him in other storylines and other, like, we saw.
You're not wrong. But as far as I know right now, when you're asking me this question, it's the one episode.
That's fair.
But I mean, it's more than just this one episode, like, right? It's all the shit he did in Breaking Bad and all that.
Yeah, you can't go back and binge Breaking Bad.
Going forward, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he was on Once Upon a Time, I think.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Which was awful.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I can go without Stanton.
Even if when he plays like the teams you want to watch, say it's the playoffs and it's Red Sox Yankees, you're gonna have to. I guess only you can turn it off when he's up at bat and turn it off when he's making a play in the field. They can turn it back on.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. So what were the rest of the verdicts?
The one that was just unbelievably spot on was Aaron Judge was found guilty of looking like Sid from Toy Story.
Nice. Did they have pictures of each? Like
100% correct.
Side by side, like Sid. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. If I mean, now Sid is a grown up. I'm pretty sure next time we see Sid, he will look just like Aaron Judge.
If Judge doesn't show up to the next game against the Astros with that like faux Punisher black T-shirt, Sid's, I'm gonna be so disappointed.
His walk up song should be like "You've Got a Friend in Me" for the next game.
Yes. Oh my God. This has to happen. He needs to just completely full-on embrace it now and just ride it out.
All right, this is our next Twitter hashtag petition that we're going to have to... The whatever, bullpen cart, and then the Sid from Toy Story, You Got a Friend in Me walk-up song. Or when he plays the Red Sox, we go to the Fenway... The Fenway. We go to Fenway, and we just start singing it and get everyone else to start singing it.
Yeah, I'm totally in on that.
Yeah? So, my favorite moment... from this week was somebody sitting in the stands, and that was Joe Kelly, who was suspended. He was sitting in the bleachers of the Red Sox game, which to me brought back memories of Bobby Valentine when he got kicked out of a game when he was the manager of the Mets, and he put on like the Marx glasses and mustache and went sat in the dugout with a fake mustache on.
Yeah, and tried to pretend like it wasn't him.
Yeah, Bobby Valentine is an all-time great move. But this Joe Kelly thing was great too, because when he was in the park, actually some fans saw him, and he was like tweeted a picture of him with some fan of his, which is sweet. During the game, Joe Kelly tweets a picture of him in the stands with fans. Like, that's awesome. I would totally do that if I was a team, and I'm surprised we don't see players do it more often. Imagine like heckling the right fielder of the other team when you're suspended.
Yeah, oh my God, I would love that.
Like, security's not going to kick you out. I bet you he didn't even have a ticket to the game. I'm sure he just went to the park. And they said, hey, Joe, like, they all recognize him, and he just walks in the same way he always walks in. So, yeah, just start trolling people.
Yeah, that more players need to do that, and exactly like you said, just need to, like, take advantage of just, like, heckling the heck out of people.
Yeah, I want to see Joey Votto get suspended to see what he'll do.
Or go the route of, did you see, if it was a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, there was a fan that was yelling at Justin Verlander, who was on the top step of the dugout in an Astros game, kept telling him he sucked. So Verlander turned around and had these note cards, and he goes, no, you suck, was heckling him back. So, like, if the, like, Joe Kelly's in the stands and some, like, fan is heckling, like, Mookie Betts, then Joe Kelly starts heckling the fan for heckling Mookie Betts. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got your back, man.
I figured out the perfect scenario. Sox play Angels in the playoffs. Otani's a bat. Joe Kelly's right behind the plate, just cheering yep. like a good fan.
That's
done.
It, right there.
I'm into it. So what's next on the docket? I hear you got a little game for me.
Yeah, I do. So actually through some pre-pro for the Dynasty Guru, I stumbled upon these ballpark Yelp reviews. And so I wanted to see if I could quiz you and you can guess the ballpark based on the Yelp review.
Only one catch. Can you tell me if it's American League or National League so I at least have a chance? Is that fair or is that unfair?
If you'll need it.
Okay.
Yes. Some of these I don't think you're going to need it. So I'll start you off with what I think has to be the easiest one. Having celiac, I went to get a gluten-free hot dog before the game and was told they were all out. I was told that nothing else was gluten-free in the ballpark. Had I known I couldn't eat anything, I wouldn't have come. My visit here was ruined.
That's supposed to be the easiest one? I would say...
I mean, the gluten-free thing has got to narrow it down to, like, three.
So, Miller Park?
Miller Park? No.
All right, what league's it in?
National.
Well, I figured Miller Park because they have all the sausages and beer.
You went in the complete opposite direction.
Opposite direction. So, they didn't have anything gluten-free. City Field?
No.
I'm bad at this game.
You're very bad at this game. It's AT&T Park in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Honestly, would have been my third choice. Only when after you said I was going the opposite direction. All right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the gluten-free thing like that immediately should have sent you to San Francisco or LA.
Well, I figured they would have had stuff for gluten-free people. All right, what's next?
All right, this one is American League.
All right.
Boo.
Was that the whole review?
That was the whole review.
All right, American League. I'm going to say that is...
So each of these has three reviews. So you can, we'll say use a lifeline and ask for another review if you need it.
Is it Tropicana Field?
It's Tropicana Field.
Yes. Is it really?
Yeah.
All right. One for two. Better than Pablo Sandoval. All
right. So this one is a combined. This is two reviews, but I feel like you need them both. It smells like urine.
Is it Oakland?
No.
Okay.
Review number two. Okay. Yeah. This place still smells like urine.
Is it from the same person?
That is all. Carry on.
Is it from the same name?
No, it's surprisingly not. It would make it so much better if it was.
All right.
National League.
Oh, it's National League.
As if only American League stadiums can smell like urine?
No, because I thought I said American League at the beginning. Is it Wrigley?
It's Wrigley.
I figure it's so old. It probably sells the trots.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Is that 2 for 3? I'm turning it around.
Yeah. Once you get over the age of it, the high prices, crowds, and long lines, it makes it evident that the golden age of baseball probably sucked as a fan, and we have it way better today in our new ballparks.
What league is this?
American League.
And they're saying it's old, or they're saying, let's see. So this is American League, but it's one of the older ones. Fenway?
Fenway Park.
Yeah. Man. It's a lot of unsatisfied baseball fans.
All right, this is a pretty good one. Oh, my God. This is just a great review. I don't think you're going to get the stadium at all, but I just have to read
Sorry.
It. Just,
which league?
National League.
Okay.
The hat shuffle game was a lie. The baseball was most definitely under cap number 3. It was independently verified by numerous other fans. However, the promotion lady stated it was under baseball hat number 1. Clearly the wrong one.
You said American League?
National League.
Oh. National League. Who is a cheater in the National League? PNC Park.
No. Would you like the second review?
Oh, sure.
First they steal houses. Then they steal ridiculous amounts of money for tickets, food, and libation. Lastly, their losing season steals all of your hopes and dreams.
Petco Park.
No. The losing season thing doesn't really help you either because they're not losing anymore.
Oh.
That doesn't really help you.
Nationals Park?
No.
All right. Well, I gave up on this one. Who was it?
Chavez Ravine for the Dodgers.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. That can wrap that up. We can move on from that. But, yeah, those are some good ones.
All right. Well, speaking of the Dodgers, then, let's talk about Corey Seager. He is out for the year. What do you think this means for the Dodgers? What's the next move? Should they hang tight? What should they do?
Man, honestly, they should mail it in for the rest of the year and focus all their efforts on re-signing Clayton Kershaw for the long term because they are very far back in the standings. This doesn't make it any easier. He's in the last year of his deal. Just give him all of the money in the world that he wants. Make sure he's locked up there to stay. And then focus on giving it another go in 2019.
What if they did one of these, like, wink, dark alley handshake contracts where they traded him, got all they could get, and then sign him in free agency next year? So, listen, you have a half a season to go compete for the Yankees. And, well, whatever it takes, we'll bring you back next year. Do you think there's any chance that they would try to do something like that?
You know, that's not actually a bad idea. They're probably, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is filthy, and he would absolutely fetch a king's ransom. So if they're trying to load up for a future run, yeah, maybe they do.
Any chance that, say, who would say no in this? Kershaw for Gleyber Torres. Probably the Yankees wouldn't do it.
Straight up?
Yeah.
Do you think the Yankees wouldn't do that? You're going to need more than that for Kershaw.
Yeah. I mean, it's only half a year of Kershaw, though.
Yeah, you're still going to need more than that.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely call the Yankees then. Get the second baseman of the future. He can play shortstop this year if you need it. Then give Kershaw all it takes. I was thinking this could be, if they wanted to go for it, you know, they could be a candidate for Manny Machado. I think it would have to give up a lot, though. Maybe Walker Buehler, amongst others. But there's some other guys like Hector Revilla of the Tampa Bay Rays. They have Aceetis Escobar, even Profar are all guys that they could target if they just wanted someone to fill in.
Yeah, I mean, they were rumored to be, or immediately once he went down.
Hector Revilla.
Yeah.
Did I get it?
Yeah, I mean, you were close enough on the first one. I was going to let it go. You're really struggling on that. Immediately once he went down, then the first name that came out was, oh, the Dodgers are going to go get Manny Machado. Manny Machado's really good. I mean, they're going to have to give up a pretty decent piece just to get half a season of Manny Machado. I don't think they're going to be real sold on that. If they were in first place right now, I could see that. But the Diamondbacks are really good. And the Rockies are in a pretty good spot, too. And I don't know if the Dodgers are going to be able to give up what the Orioles would be looking for Manny Machado and still be competitive this season. So I think that name you can probably cross off the list unless they get very desperate at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But any of those other names, I think Profar actually would be a great fit because it's probably not going to take much and he can play multiple positions.
Yeah, that's like my dream scenario for Profar because I just want him to do well. And I feel like, he plays shortstop this year and then next year he can be a super utility and they could probably get him for someone like Yadier Alvarez, who is a highly renowned pitcher, but it seems like he's probably going to be a bullpen arm. So, like, they get a good young reliever for years. It's not a lot, but I feel like Profar almost costs nothing at this point. I mean, maybe Texas has some injury problems, so they might be a little hesitant to trade him, but I think if everyone is healthy, they would give him away for almost nothing at this point.
So, just to give you a little bit of a benchmark, the Oakland Athletics had to give up Addison Russell, who was at the time the 12th overall prospect, just to get Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah, but at the same time, everyone laughed at them after the fact. But it's true. I mean, you got to do what the market says.
Right, but I'm saying you think that Gleyber Torres is enough for Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah, maybe not. You know how I feel about prospects.
Yeah, but yeah, that's my point is that, like, so Gleyber Torres was probably maybe, well, yeah, okay, so he was in the top 10, he's probably up to like number 5, but Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball, which is a few notches better than Jeff Samardzija. So that's going to take a bit more.
It's funny when you talk about the Yankees trading for the best pitcher in baseball, how little they almost gave up to get Gerrit Cole and like how fortunate everyone else is that trade did not happen.
Well, looking at it now, but do you think that Gerrit Cole would be as good as he is with the Astros on the Yankees?
I don't, but it was going to be like Clint Frazier, and then I forget, it was like a really low prospect, and I don't believe in Clint Frazier.
And all his concussions? Yeah, I'm pretty surprised they didn't pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, so you think they should sell? I think they should buy cheaply, not give up too much, but I'm interested to see how they'll do, because they still, like you said, they have the best pitcher in baseball. They have a good outfield. They have a good first baseman. The rest of the infield is crap. Depends on how you feel about Utley. It will be interesting to see what they do. I'm sure they'll wait to see they get close to the deadline and decide if they're going to buy or sell, but they have some pieces they could sell off to if they decide to sell. Like Puig. Puig's not doing anything for them. Get rid of him.
All right. So, speaking of trading prospects, how about... So, since we've had a rash of young prospects get called up recently, now that we've hit that stupid service time limit, what's the next big prospect that you are excited for now that Cunha has made his debut?
Yeah, and it does seem like Buehler is going to now enter the Dodgers rotation because they lost Ryu, so he's off the list too. I think my next guy I'm looking forward to is Vlad Jr. We talked about him our first or second podcast, and I asked you if he'd be up this year, and you said it seemed pretty aggressive, and it is pretty aggressive because he just turned 19 last month, but he moved up to AA, and he is raking. He's hitting .388, .455 OBP, 2 home runs. Right now, the Blue Jays, Donaldson's out. He could fill in for that, but I think they're going to find a place for him at some point this season, and I am excited to see him. Like I mentioned last week, I like him more than I like Acuna. Just for different reasons, I think his bat is better, but he might not have the same speed as Acuna, but I cannot wait till he comes up. And even though it's going to be in the AL East, besides the Red Sox, most of the pitchers in the AL East are trash, so I think he should hit pretty well.
Yeah, he's going to be really good, and he actually is probably the next guy that I'm the most excited about, but I wanted to go in a different route and pick a different guy. And then thinking about it, there's 8 other guys that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And then I decided to land on. So I originally had in there Fernando Tatis Jr., who is one of the guys that I'm excited about, but I'm going to go in a different direction and go with Michael Kopech, who I feel is like the modern day Sid Finch, but exists. And his legendary 105-mile-an-hour fastball, who should eventually make an appearance here this year as well. And so he's tearing up AAA right now. 35 strikeouts in 27 innings pitched, 2.67 ERA, only 9 walks. So that's looking pretty good. 1.11 whip. Pretty solid debut so far. And he has really crushed every level that he's been at. And he's going to show relatively quickly here that he's ready for the major leagues. He got up to AAA last year, had 3 starts there to finish off the year. And I was going to, you know, starting the full season here, I expect probably before September, I think he's going to get the call to the White Sox rotation and make his major league debut at some point this year. And I'm pretty excited to see him. And hopefully it'll be in Chicago so I can go see it, because that would be nice.
Yeah, and right now I'm looking at their depth chart. They only have 4 pitchers listed as in their starting rotation. I don't know if there's a roster move coming or something, but not only, I mean, the guys they have up are pretty good. Giolito's having a bad year so far, but I think he's going to turn it around. But there's only 4 pitchers in their rotation. What the hell are they waiting for?
Who are the 4?
So you have James Shields, who, whatever, they lose Giolito.
He's still alive?
Yeah, I know, exactly. He's listed as their number one. Giolito, Lopez, and Fulmer. They're
so
all pretty
who are
they
good.
Missing? Well, Rondon's on the DL.
Oh, right.
Gonzalez is on the DL, so they have some injuries right now. But I think they should bring up. I mean, they're not competing. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be any worse.
Mm-hmm.
So why not?
They should try to plan it for when you're going to be there, and then win-win.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if I could be consulted on these types of things. You know,
it's funny that you're going to say Fernando Tatis Jr. and I said Vlad Jr. and then like Bo Bichette's in the minors. It's just like a wave of these baseball kids coming up. It's crazy. It makes me feel old.
And there's also, and we mentioned Eloy earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited about him too. So yeah, there's still a lot of guys down there that I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So waiting for them to make their debut. So why don't you ask me about Jose Peraza?
Yeah, I will do that. So I have him in 3 or 4 leagues. In all the leagues, he's eligible at shortstop and second. And he is good. He's batting third. I wish he would bat a little higher in the lineup so he'd get more steal chances, because we've seen him in the minors. He's had 2 60-year steal seasons, and he's only 23, and I'm really deep at middle infield. What do you think he's worth if I shopped him around?
Oh, man. See, the difficult thing is...
Let me put this a different way right now. Billy Hamilton, I feel like, goes for a lot. Do you actually think that Billy Hamilton is actually worth more than Jose Peraza to, like, a fantasy owner?
Yes.
Just because the capabilities of him getting steals, even though he might suck down every other aspect of your stats?
Yes. And he has a defined position and a role. I don't know where Jose Peraza plays. That's the thing. They have starters over
Cincinnati.
Him. Well, yeah, I know that. But they have starters in the outfield over him at every position, and they have starters in the infield over him at every position. So I don't know where he actually finds consistent playing time. Billy Hamilton will hit the occasional home run, and while neither him or Peraza have tremendous power, Hamilton does have a bit more power, and Billy Hamilton will steal about 40 more bases than Peraza. So, yeah, Hamilton definitely has much more value and a defined role.
Well, I mean, for the most part, Peraza, at least for now, until Senzel comes up, he's the starting shortstop. And the only other person they have that can play shortstop is Suarez, who just came back from an injury, but he's pretty much planted at third.
Right, and so that's what I was going to say. It makes it hard to kind of evaluate what's worth shopping when, you know, we don't really know what the long-term value of him is, because he might not have any long-term value.
Yeah.
So it's a tough judgment.
He is only 23. Do you think he's about at his peak?
Peraza?
Yeah. Do you think he has a lot more upside? Because I still envision at least like 40 steal seasons in his future. Because he can get on base for a speed guy, but it kind of depends a lot to do with what the Reds do. Because first of all, they suck, and also they have Senzel coming up to go stick him somewhere. And right now, that probably seems like either that or second. Scooter Gennett, Senzel's going to take one of those 2 spots.
Well, even though he is on his third major league team, he feels like a prime candidate to be traded again. You know, maybe he goes back to the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's true. I would like that a lot more.
Yeah.
Get him in front of some boppers.
I think that's actually probably where he has the most value, is if he gets traded someplace where he has a more defined role, and then I think he actually, his value would really skyrocket then. But as long as he's on the Reds, I don't know if he has any.
For the most part, I should sit on him for now and hope his value goes up at some point.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So that actually leads me to what I'm looking forward to this week, and that is Nick Senzel watch. I feel like he's on the verge of coming up. You and I have talked about him before, not on the podcast, but we're both kind of lukewarm on him. I think his best case scenario upside is Scott Rolen, which is great, but that's only if he adds a little more power to his game. I think he'll get hits. He'll have good average, good on base, but he's not going to have the type of power you really want out of a third baseman if he plays third base. His glove is supposed to be great. Fantasy-wise, offensive-wise, nothing spectacular. Defensive-wise, I do think he has potential to be a gold glover, and I think he's very close to being called up to the Reds. I don't know what they're waiting for.
Yeah, I think his floor is slightly above average in every category, and I think his ceiling is slightly above average in every single category, which is just not an overly exciting fantasy guy.
He's safe. Real life
guy. Yeah, he's just super safe. The risk is more exciting to me.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I like risk. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, at this point, yeah, why not? I mean, we're past that stupid mark, so what are they waiting for?
And he started off the season a little slow, but he's been doing fine ever since, like, the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, maybe I'll make a prediction that this time next week he'll be up, but even though I don't really believe that, but I think by the end of this month there's no doubt he'll be up. I mean, the month just started, so we'll see him up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we're looking for bold predictions. You should have gone by, like, tomorrow he'll be up.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking forward to was, I know before we heard the news about Ichiro today, I was looking forward to Ohtani versus Ichiro. Couple Japanese legends going at it. But
what day is that matchup?
The series starts tomorrow.
They kind of waited to retire him for another 3 days.
Yeah, and Ohtani is slated to pitch tomorrow. It would have been nice to see Ichiro getting at bat versus Ohtani. But, you know, maybe they will still say hi to each other on the field and shake hands and have a picture and have at least like a nice little meeting of legends.
I'm sure growing up, he had Ichiro posters on his wall. He had Ichiro jerseys. I'm sure Ichiro was an idol to him.
I mean, if I did, which, spoiler alert, I definitely did. I loved Ichiro, man. My dad went on a business trip to Seattle. And I told him, I was like, buy me literally everything that has Ichiro on it. And he came back with like a little pennant and a baseball that had Ichiro on it and like three other little things that I kept. I was all about Ichiro. So I feel like if I was that into Ichiro, a dude that was actually like playing baseball as a young kid in Japan must have had like 10 times as many Ichiro things. So I feel like that's like seeing Ichiro on a baseball field here. I'm sure they have crossed paths before, because I know that Ichiro goes back to Japan in the offseason here. But it'll be a cool moment to kind of see them two on a field.
It's crazy. Otani's 23, and Ichiro's been playing for 20 years in the States.
Yeah.
So he's probably playing professional baseball when Otani was born.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's insane.
Yeah. Even though they won't be competing against each other, at least this year, maybe it'll happen next year. I'm looking forward to at least see them together on the field.
Yeah, he should sit in the stands and cheer for Ohtani, Joe Kelly style, when Ohtani's up at the plate.
Yeah, maybe we can convince them to, I guess if he's not putting in his retirement papers, maybe they can send Ichiro down there to pinch hit tomorrow.
Yeah, or even they should call him in for the bullpen to pitch against Ohtani.
Yes, really, dude, really Ichiro. He's done that. He did that in Miami too.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, in that article, was Ichiro's outing part of that, or did he not pitch last year? He's pitched a couple times in Miami, and he's got a heater.
He's not in this article. There's only 10 listed, but none of them are Ichiro. Eric Eibar threw a knuckleball.
Wow.
They have a GIF right here. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, interesting. Well, yeah, so that'll do it for our show this week. Thanks for joining us. Once again, I'm Keaton Drosher, baseball editor at Sports Website. You can find me on Twitter at TheSpokenKeats. That is Mike Lavery, managing editor at Sports Website. You can find him on Twitter at PassTheMike. So, Mike, what have you been writing lately?
So, not too much this week. My computer died, and I had to get a new computer charger that just came in the mail yesterday.
Bummer.
I edited some people's writings from my phone, so we have some football articles up there that I just had to hit approve. And then I did a couple podcasts, I think two episodes of Sports the Podcast the first two episodes since the last time we did Seems to Me, but that is Sports the Podcast. It's either on all the major podcast sites or it should be in the next couple days. But yeah, not too much writing this week, but this week coming up, I'm going to be on it a lot better. How about you? What have you been writing?
So we got the power rankings out on Saturday, and yep. So that'll be a recurring weekend post. Excited about that, and I'm going to start diving into some, now that we're a month in, the landscape of a division by division outlook in baseball, and see where we thought the teams would be coming into the year and how they're shaping up and trending here a little over a month in, and what, if any, maybe some teams should be looking to make moves. So look for that to come out. I'll probably start with the AL West.
I think I have a bold prediction for your trade column type thing. I think Senzo will get called up, and after what you said, now I think he'll get called up and Peraza will get traded to the Dodgers. Book it.
I like it. Yeah. So reach out to this podcast on Twitter at SeemsToMePod. Email is SeemsToMePod@gmail.com. At SportsTheTweets on Twitter is where you can find anything sports, the website related, and check out all the awesome content at sportswebsite.com. So lastly, thank you to Barricades for the use of our theme song, Young, off their album titled With Perfect Aim. So Mike, let's have a parting fun fact for the people.
Yeah, so this fun fact I love. It is from Fred Kalil on Twitter, Kalil, and it's about the Braves. Soraka, Acuna, and Albies combined age is 61 years, and they will combine for $1.5 million this season. Bobby Bonilla is 55 years old, and the Mets will pay him $1.15 million this season. So, moral of the story is invest your money wisely, kids.
Yeah, I love that. How many more years do the Mets have to pay off Bonilla?
2035.
Oh, that's not soon at all.
$1.19 million every July 1st until 2035.
Good
the
Lord.
Contract started in 1999.
That's unbelievable. My goodness.
It's like Mario Lemieux, right? That the Penguins owed him so much money that he kind of just like took over ownership of the team.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that's all we got.
Yeah. There you have it. Educating the masses one pod at a time. Thanks for joining us. And come back next week for some more fun with Bobby. It's Lord.